I am Plante on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We continue meeting the candidates in the municipal election Saturday, the 19th of November. Vancouverites are electing a mayor, city council, park, and school boards. I'm joined now by Jerry Maguire. He is a candidate for mayor for Vancouver Citizens Voice. Mr. Maguire is the owner of a limousine company here in Vancouver. We'll discuss why he's running, the issues, and more. The website for Vancouver Citizens Voice is at vcvoice.ca. Please welcome to the Plante Online program, Jerry Maguire. Good morning, Mr. Maguire.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us. Now, we've heard of you and this party back, I guess, in the summer. Tell us why it came about and why you decided to run yourself.
Well, I had an aversion to the NPA because of their past history, and Vision Vancouver, I just consider them to have been disastrous for the city. So my concept was to start a new party and run several candidates and hopefully have a competition nomination, a real nomination and competition for the mayor's spot. But unfortunately, my recruiting was started a bit late, and so I ended up running as the only candidate with myself as mayor.
Yeah. Now, are you endorsing anyone else, say, for council, school, or parks board?
I do, actually. The top of my head. Let me grab the book.
Sure.
Oh, here it is, right here. Okay. Yeah, we'll start with Sean Bickerton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's very thoughtful and knowledgeable. We'll start with counselors here, page 16. Sean, Joe Karanji, just for being so into it.
Yeah, he's quite. He's standing at the corner of what is that, Burrard and
Howe.
Yeah,
yeah. Ken Charco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he seems like a good fellow. I'm just getting to know him better. Bill McCreary, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bill's got a depth of knowledge in the planning area that's unmatchable. And he's also got a long view of what's good for Vancouver and what can be done. Bill probably could have been mayor.
He's a former parks commissioner, I guess, back in the 70s, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here. There's probably a couple that'd be okay. I personally like Tim Lewis, but he's a little left for me.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty well, that's about it.
So you've named five candidates, four of which are NPA. Now you said at the outset that you have an aversion to the NPA
as a party and what they've represented.
Yeah,
but these people as individuals, I think they'd be good for Vancouver.
Yeah.
So there is definitely a disconnect there between
Between the candidates and the party itself.
Yeah.
Did you find that people that you talk to in the midst of this campaign, that Vancouverites, that they're voting, not necessarily, we've been trained to vote, down the slate for a certain party or whatever. Do you find that people are not doing that, especially this time around, the emergence of some independent candidates, say?
Maybe for council, because people like Garasino and Carr have gotten a lot of press.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them absolute opportunists. Neither one of them has been hanging around City Hall, or except, Garasino, yes, on the casino, but that was it.
Yeah.
And Carr's been nowhere for the last 3 years. So she parachutes in, and because she's got the Green Party stamp of approval, she's apparently polling quite well. But I consider that kind of a joke, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with slates again. She's a slate, actually. She's a one-person slate. But anyways, do I find that at the council level, they are going outside of the major parties, the NPA and the Vision. At the mayor level, all the alternative candidates have been totally frozen out of any major media. 100% frozen out.
Yeah.
I used to get pretty good media when I was just a citizen going up and speaking before council.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm running for mayor. All of a sudden, it's next to nothing.
Yeah.
So, perfect example. I had an elderly woman phone me yesterday. Excuse me. And I don't think she knew she was phoning a mayor candidate. And I explained to her, yeah, well, actually, you know, the person you called, myself, Jerry Maguire, is running for mayor. And she says, oh, which party are you with? I says, well, I'm an independent. And she says, well, I, you know, want to keep to the parties. I says, well, who'd you vote for last time? Gregor, would you vote for him again? No. Well, what good was the party last time?
Yeah.
But they just, they're not looking. They're not, there's no major media for us.
Yeah. Well, what do you view as the critical issues going forward in the term of the next 3 years?
The big thing is going to be what the province does with electoral reform, whether they make any real electoral reform or not.
At the municipal level?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, where what would you like to see?
I'd like to see a ward system. I'd like to see a single transferable vote, a partial ward system with an increase in the number of councillors. We have the same number of councillors now as we did in 1886.
Now, didn't we have a referendum on wards a few years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, the anti-referendum sides spent millions. And the pro-ward side was shut out by the unions, and Vision actually shut them out. Their own party shut them out.
Yeah.
It was mostly Cope-led, but yeah, the ward system would be absolutely critical to reforming what's going on in the city today. There's so much going on behind the scenes that's not healthy.
And would that increase, do you think, voter turnout? Because what was the voter turnout in the last election, 31% or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. I think that might have been something to do with, that was actually maybe a representation of voter satisfaction in terms of people are thinking, well, Robertson is polling way ahead, so you don't really need my vote. The other thing was that, it would help voter turnout.
Now, the polls nowadays for this campaign, they seem, I mean, the one poll that we've seen, I guess on the front page of the Sun last week, had them, I guess, within 6 points of each other, Robertson and Anton. Do you think on Saturday there'll be a higher voter turnout, do you think?
For sure.
Yeah.
People are very dissatisfied with the current administration.
In terms of the issue that seems to be dominating the headlines, and that's Occupy Vancouver, if you were mayor, how would you have handled that issue?
To be perfectly honest, not a lot different than Robertson has right now, because that's a powder keg that could blow up in his face.
So what, people are confused on how Robertson feels. I mean, he says at the outset of the protest that he was for them being there. Someone dies, and then he wants them out of there, and it seems to me now that they want to go in there and forcibly remove them. I hear it on Twitter today that, or I read on Twitter today, I guess you don't hear. I read on Twitter today that the fire department has gone in there and removed some of the tents, the unoccupied tents.
Yeah, but look how they're doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Compared to what happened in New York last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're just taking they're doing a little tiny chip away, little tiny chip away. They're working with them peacefully and collaboratively. It's political genius, really. I'll give credit where credit is due. They're playing it about as well as they can play it. Like I said, given that it's a powder keg that could blow up in their face. Right? If they take them out of there forcibly, they're going to lose a whole lot of their own base.
But there are people within that movement that are extremely dissatisfied with Robertson and Vision. When they go vote on Saturday, if they do at all, who do they vote for?
Hopefully me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're in the limousine business,
mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that bike lanes are something that you have thought about. Or that concern you. If elected, would you do away with them?
Not exactly.
What would you do?
Okay, there's a way to design them where traffic and bicycles and pedestrians and other kinds of vehicles can actually interact safely. Okay, and that's a built structure concept, came out of Holland about 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, that works. And they're totally blinkered into building physically segregated lanes. And from 2009 to 2010, when the Dunsmuir lanes went in and the Burrard Street bridge lanes went in, cycling accidents went up 15%.
Yeah.
It's not working. The segregated lanes are actually more dangerous than there was before. And also, there's a key point that cyclists are really, really missing on this, and that is the licensing and insuring of cyclists, okay? If cyclists ever want to be a part of the transportation mix, if they ever want to be a serious player on the road, you're going to have to get licensed and insured. And they say, oh, well, that's going to slow down the adaptation of cycling. Well, maybe for a bit, but they seem, the point they're missing is that if a cyclist gets hit and run, maybe crippled for life, maybe quadriplegic, they have no recourse. They have nobody to sue. They're on their own.
In terms of your own business, your personal experience with it, has it, affected your business in a negative way?
Not as much as the street closures on Granville Street at night, the nighttime club closings.
Oh, right.
Because we used to, I mean, part of the thrill of taking a limousine is being able to be dropped off where people can see you.
Mm-hmm.
And why do you pay, 10 times more than you're paying for a taxi to be dropped off a block away? And that's what we're facing now. So definitely seen a cut in business from the club closures, the street closures around the clubs during the summer. That's hurt us quite badly, actually.
Something that you've been talking about that I see on your website that no one else really has talked about in this campaign, certainly, but we hear bits and pieces of it in the middle of elections, and that is the election or the need to elect members that represent the city at TransLink or at the regional
mm-hmm.
board.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about why. That you would think that these boards that have the ability to tax and the sort, why they should have elected members, directly elected members?
Quite simple. Taxation without representation is tyranny. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing a sea change in how this whole region is being governed at the regional level through Metro, and very, very few people really understand what's happening, what's happened in terms of the Metro regional growth strategy. And again, with TransLink, TransLink is pitching from project to project, barely able to finance any of them, and they hold their meetings in secret.
Why hasn't
they've got no accountability? Yeah. They've got no accountability to the public whatsoever, and they're taxing the living daylights out of us.
Why haven't the major parties though made it a concern of theirs?
Vision Vancouver, surprisingly enough, I heard one of their councillors last night saying that there should be direct representation at Metro. She didn't touch on TransLink, but she talked about Metro. That surprised me. But they seem to be in cahoots with the globalizing tendencies of the provincial and the regional governments. And that's what we're getting. We're getting centralization of power, and they seem to like that centralization of power. Vision Vancouver especially, so Robertson in particular.
In the other platform plank that you have is that you'd restore funding to parks and community center programs. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that there's been a $5.3 million cut in the time that Vision's been on Parks Board. How would you restore that funding, the lack of funding?
I'll find the money.
Through taxes?
The city has a $1 billion budget.
Yeah.
And Parks Board is absolutely subservient to council. So we'll find the money.
And does that mean an increase in taxes for the citizens?
No. No, it just means maybe put a hold on a project here, maybe don't build a bike lane there. There's $16 million in the capital plan for building segregated bike lanes in the next 3 years.
$60 million?
1/6.
Oh, 16.
There's 1/6. However, there's the possibility that there could be as much as $32 million spent in the next, of doubling that. That's what Vision's plan is. If they can, they're going to double that.
Now, looking at the election going into the 19th, going into the vote, what do you think your chances are?
The best I can hope for is to pull around, optimistically pull around 5,000 to 6,000 votes. They just have too much money. They have too much access to media, to major media. If I pull pretty good numbers like that, even anywhere between 2,000 and 6,000 would be pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to pull in their horns a little bit on the kind of things they've been doing for the last 3 years.
And do you think that sends a message to them if you get within 2,000 to 6,000 votes?
Oh yeah,
that'll change the direction into the next 3 years, say.
Well, what'll change the direction more than that is if it's a mixed council, if they don't have a majority on council.
Is that your sense that we'll have a mixed council after the 19th?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think that might happen, yeah.
How much of your day is spent campaigning, Jerry?
Well, probably 3 or 4 hours, maybe 5 certain days. In fact, some of the things I've been doing is getting directly involved in neighborhood issues. There's a problem with the Trout Lake Farmers Market right now. And that is that they're monopolizing a corner of the park that's heavily used during the summertime. And they're making a mess out of the neighborhood. They're blocking fire trucks. They're paying $1,100 for a summertime lease and raking in about $90,000 to $100,000 in revenue. And the neighborhood's getting nothing out of it except for traffic problems and diesel generators blowing for 4 to 6 hours a day in the summertime. So that's part of campaigning.
Yeah,
there's a meeting on this Thursday that I'm going to be going out to, and I haven't been doing the house to house thing. I haven't been doing mainstreeting. I've been doing more on the web, a lot of Twitter, some Facebook.
And do you find that people are buying into the message?
Yeah, yes. The licensing of the cyclists resonates. Okay, the actual helping of people, like I helped the fella. In fact, we actually got in front of the bulldozers. Got no media whatsoever.
Where was this?
That was 57th and Elliott. Richard Yao, Mike Howell from the Courier originally broke the story about the problems he was having with the city, and. We got out there, and we created a stir in the neighborhood, and the city backed down. The city, it was a minor thing, really. I mean, the city really, all they had to do was redesign, make a minor redesign on a boulevard of a bike lane, right? really didn't. The boulevard was 30 feet wide. There's lots of room to do it. To do it. And they finally did. They finally gave in, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's... The fact that it got no media was disappointing because it was a huge thing. It really was. And this thing with the Trout Lake Farmers Market, scandalous what's going on down there, and yet nobody's picked it up.
Jerry, I appreciate your time today, and good luck on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks. Just want to, I guess, reiterate a few things.
Yeah.
The key points. Ward system's critical, and that comes from the provincial government. It's got to be a an electoral reform at the provincial level. Okay? The licensing and insuring of cyclists is critical if they ever want to be seriously considered as a major transportation mode. And I guess the I want to say I'm in favor of most of the priority actions outlined in the Greenest City Action Plan, but I'm not in favor of fanatical adherence to a fixed set of goals regardless of cost, taxation levels, or social disruption. It's my strong belief that the fundamental principles of an open, transparent, and accountable democracy are not more important than saving the planet, but rather essential to it. That's it.
Jerry, people can read more on the website, vcvoice.ca. Jerry Maguire is the Vancouver Citizens Voice candidate for mayor. He's on the line from here in Vancouver, obviously. I'm Joseph Plunta.